Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
are we just in?
Hello. You know what I expect to see on this episode, Carr? You would have told me a week ago. I would have said I expect to see maybe 35 to 40 less listeners. But yeah,
that's.
It seems like everybody made it out of Childerberg.
Yeah,
except
did.
For Rollo.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a snafu flying back for Rollo, but
Rollo McFlugel. Shout out to, what was it, Kyleen Airport?
Yeah, shout out to Kyleen Airport, canceling every single fucking flight out of there for days on end. Really good,
Jesus.
Good big dick.
I think Rollo sent 12 messages, and he was clearly in a fury about it. And I think I just responded, "Hey man, you could surf on my couch if you want. You just gotta get here."
Roast.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I hope Rollo's doing all right. I hope he's made it back. I think he has at this point. Well, shout out to Rollo McFlugel. Greg.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's great to have you. On. We're going to talk about guns on this episode. Yeah. Is that what we're going to do?
Home defense. Yeah.
We're going to talk about home defense.
That's a big ticket item in libertarian circles that we just don't really discuss all that much.
Where is the line drawn when a child steps on your property? Things of that nature, right?
How many landmines should you use?
Yeah. How many bullets can you load into the head of an old woman who falls onto your property? Things of that nature. I gotta tell you, it was 1 a.m. when I listened to the episode, the Rollo and Greg show.
Primetime listening, yeah.
It was 1 a.m. I was a little baked. I was listening to that episode. It was goddamn brutal, dude. It was really brutal.
I'm sorry.
It was so... You're like, and the bullet goes in and it explodes inside of you. Oh. It's like, Jesus!
I thought it was all the lard talk.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I was disgusted by that, but I wasn't in fear.
I thought that was a really good episode to
cover
all the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was a really, really good episode, but man, I get squeamish when I hear about bullets tearing into people.
I'll try and keep it lower key today. So.
It's you know what? It's this thing is though. Like, it's important. I love that when you're talking about guns, you brought that up. You brought up the visceral nature of it because it's so important that you install that into this when you have a death machine in your hands.
People think it's just fun until you're in the actual event and then you're terrified. People are, peeing their pants. It's the worst situation you could possibly be in. And people kind of flippantly talk about it. So,
I rarely come into contact with guns up here. And so whenever I see them, it's either a cop who has them, a friend who has them, or someone got hurt because of one of them. So it's interesting. It's interesting to me. I would like a weapon for home defense as well. And so I'm glad we're doing this episode, especially because it's about, I assume it's about something that I really hold near and dear since it's a surprise to me. But, I want to get a weapon, but man, I'm so squeamish about, I really hope the last thing I have to do is pull that trigger at somebody.
See, I'm glad we have Greg on because I know surprisingly little about guns for having two of them dangling off of the ends of my shoulders. So this is going to be a great learning experience for me and a
very
chance to get really acquainted with
that was,
what I have.
So wait, Carr, when you said you had to plan out the surprise, was it just you planning that joke out for the past hour?
Yeah, well, that was that's one of the surprises.
Okay.
Hold on. I gotta go. There's an emergency, but my twin brother Kyle, I think he can help. Hold on, just 1 second.
Okay. Oh, Kyle. God.
Kyle.
I hope everything's gonna be okay. I don't like new people, Carl.
Can you come help me for a second, please? Can you just read off this list?
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Kyle's a good guy.
You like Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
sorry, bros. I just finished a fucking Monster Energy drink. What's up? My name's Kyle.
What's going on, Kyle?
Hi, Kyle. Hey,
Car?
Yeah.
What's up, Car?
Yeah, from the Rain conference.
Yeah, man.
You guys know one another?
Yeah, we met at a Rain conference back in 2013 in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Right, look that up, guys, if you don't know what that is.
I'm really terrified to look this up.
No.
Okay. I guess we'll leave that to listeners.
How much do you guys pay guests to be on this show? Is it like a flat rate or
Usually people Bird. Get a couple followers.
Bird handles that. Actually, we have two packages that we offer. The first is a punch in the dick, and then if you don't want that, then the second offer is just $5 cash.
I remember. That's an old meme about that's this podcast. That is a throwback to this episode.
That was me bribing people to listen to the show.
That was a long time ago. You were like, how do we get more people to listen to the show? All I know, we bribe them with a punch in the dick or $5.
And then just $5 cash.
Well, okay, we have Kyle on the show, I guess.
I guess I have this list here.
Yeah,
go over it. Hey, let me talk about myself, because that's what I'm good at.
Okay, yeah. Kyle, talk Kyle. About yourself, Kyle. All right.
I remember that from that Rain conference.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I'm losing control, and I'm okay with it.
All right. So I spent 10 years learning Krav Maga from 9th degree black belt Sensei Dan, who runs the gym next to the Acme.
Okay.
I spent 20 years studying Japanese culture. I have personally beat a Navy SEAL in hand-to-hand combat, and I've successfully karate-kicked 6 shoplifters where I work security.
Golly. Look at that.
This guy's serious.
That's a resume. That's one of the most stacked resumes I think we've ever had.
Now, wait, is that Greg's resume, or is that Kyle's resume?
Greg's a real queer. He doesn't have anything cool like this. I could kick his ass.
Greg?
I remember seeing you at that Rain conference.
Greg?
One of those shoplifters was when we were at that Rain conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia, was it not?
What the fuck is
this? I think that was a bicycle kick.
You just gotten on the bike, yeah. That was wild. It just came crashing down.
I'm really trying to refrain from looking this up, so I'm not going to. So, wait, Greg gave you a list of things to read about your own credentials?
No, that's me. I'm talking about how cool I am.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna ignore this entire list and just make up my own stuff.
Okay, good.
Great.
That's good. That
Great.
Sounds Great. Like a good way to give advice to people. All right.
Hey, man. You can trust me. My sensei, he told me that I was the reincarnation of Jet Li.
Oh, great. Wow. And you know Krav Maga, so you're I guess you like the Palestinian. I don't know. Like, what's... I don't know. Let's continue.
So, I'm here to teach you guys about, I guess it looks like defense inside and outside the home.
Yeah, that's right. I think we wanted to bring somebody on. We were going to bring Greg on, but this is even better that we've got you. And it's great that we also have chemistry going back to that Rain conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia, to come on and talk about weaponry that you might have in your home, ideal weaponry that you might keep in your home to repel intruders either outside of the home before they get in or inside the home if they do get in.
Easy. I'm going to start real men and women. They don't use modern guns, okay? They're too easy to use, and they're more likely to be used against you.
Ah, okay, okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
So real men, they use combat, they use strength and skill.
Yes. Yeah.
There's literally no advantage of being far away from someone. If you're close to somebody, you can move them like some terrorist douche. You can move his arms. You can control them with strikes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't disarm a gun if you're not close up.
That's right. Because they don't have arms.
That is. And that's there's an old home defense quote, I think, that's keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. You want them in close to you, possibly even closer to you than you know, you are to your family, so that you can just, you know, manipulate them as you please.
Makes sense to me.
Now, yeah. Kyle, do you know the Belgian foot technique?
No, I've never heard of that.
So, okay, good. All right, let's keep going.
All right, so now let's say you do have a gun at home.
Okay.
Right. Just leave it unloaded next to your bed. I'll tell you why. All right. If you just rack the slide, people will run away. They'll hear that noise and they'll run.
Okay.
Huh.
Right? It's a way better deterrent than actually putting holes in people. And if it's loaded, it's dangerous to you.
And you don't even, you don't want anything in there. You don't want it in the chamber, in the magazine. No. You want that completely empty.
Why? Locked in a separate compartment is what everyone at the gun store always used to say.
Okay, why, great.
Could you invest in like a, maybe a Bluetooth speaker and just play like cocking noises on your phone? Would that be a
good... Yeah, you don't even need the gun.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
That is good. Good. I like so that you're thinking outside the box.
You could save $300 or $400 on a weapon and yeah. just buy a phone for six. And good. Good. So, okay, no, basically don't have bullets at home is what I'm hearing.
Right, man, they're for pussies.
Okay, I agree. I think bullets are for fags, to be honest. Right. I'll tell you that right now.
Coming
so.
Out strong.
I like the show. It's not politically correct.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not. We stay uncorrect here. Okay.
So, it looks like I have a fan submission from someone named Rollo McFlugel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We know him.
It says keys in between your fingers.
Oh, you see, now I've done this.
Really?
Yeah, I got into a fight once.
Shocking.
It's in high school, Carr. It was, I mean, yeah. It's in high school. And we went to like the back of this parking lot where this diner was. And I took my keys and I put them between my two fingers and I clocked them in the head with it. And it seems like it worked. So yeah,
how'd it go?
I had some, I think I got suspended for like 2 days.
Now, was it attached to the chain on your wallet?
No, why? Should I have a chained wallet? Are we going back to the 90s?
So I really think that you should attach your keys to a wallet chain, right? To your jeans. And I suggest JNCOs.
JNCO pipes, sure.
Jenga, yeah, they're the best.
I think you were wearing those back at that Rain conference in France.
I do. I have about
I swear
pair.
To God, this is going to drive me crazy because I can't find out what the fuck this is.
I can.
I think it's R-A-I-N-N, right? No?
It's good. Good. It was a good conference. Good networking.
So I can tell you more about weapons.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually.
All right. So I have this thing about exotic weaponry. I have a lot in my apartment.
Okay. Okay. Right, yeah.
So I have a knife that releases CO2. It's a diving knife. It's made for killing sharks.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
If it kills a shark, dude, it can totally kill a terrorist, right?
Okay,
right.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Absolutely. Home intruder, whatever you want to call
it. So a knife that shoots air?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And, so you want to have a stabbing motion, but it doesn't actually make contact. It just releases the air near... the intruder, is that right?
Once you stab them, you hit the button, and it releases air into their system.
Into their system, okay.
Yeah, and they die instantly.
Okay, yeah, that seems reasonable to me.
People don't know that. I took a biology class once. Air, when it makes contact with the inside of your body, you actually just do die. So
that's good.
I'm
glad my training and you know, biology make sense together.
Yeah, the natural sciences and such. Good. Where would you get a knife that shoots air?
So I get a lot of mine at gun shows. I just ignore all the guns and I go to the really cool bladed weaponry section.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Now, where do you get the air for them?
CO2 canisters.
Okay.
Oh, but you can also, once you make a hole, you can put your mouth on the hole and just blow really
like
hard.
Like a computer duster?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay. I usually just huff those. I'm not really.
Too,
I never I really got them, as bro. Far as putting them in other stuff.
It's good. I like it.
All right, so that's close quarters combat there. You've got your air knife. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would recommend having around, having handy?
I'm not going to lie, I have a lot of recommendations.
Good. Let's hear it.
I've had really good luck with a Klingon batleth.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm in. I'm in now.
So, I had one and I went to community college and I brought home two chicks. and I was showing them my sweet dueling moves.
Yeah.
And I ended up fucking them both.
Nice, nice.
I ended up killing them both. Dude. Nice,
so,
nice.
If you're into like Star Wars, you know it's really cool. Get one of those.
Yeah, get a Klingon
show
ballast.
All the chicks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I recommend exotic weaponry.
Also, just show chicks your dick, right? Just show them.
I think it's a power move. I read this book about it, having a gorilla mindset, and
right,
it really helps you be an alpha, and girls love alphas.
Yeah, they love it.
We love them, too. I mean, that's what this show is really
about.
Yeah, we
do love alpha males here on the podcast.
You guys are really cool. Are you guys on Gab?
We
primarily on Gab, yeah. That's where we...
My handle's MiloFan666.
Nobody...
We're MiloFan667. No.
Wait.
Nobody has ever said, I'm primarily on Gab before. Not even the Gab guys. fuck. All right.
So I have another fan submission if you want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is from JTT Risky 0861 because he can't have a normal fucking username.
That guy was in the military. He knows how to kill people.
Like, I'm sure that guy's got a couple air knives.
So this one, it says it's canola oil Greco-Roman wrestling.
Oh,
okay.
I've seen that before on television.
I know a lot about this, right? Mm-hmm. It's way more superior than having like a Glock 12 or an AR-16 or whatever those gay things are called, right?
Yeah.
So you slip up to an intruder, right? You're greased down. It's in the dark. You put your hand right down their jorts.
Mm-hmm.
And you swiftly grab their genitals and you give them a nice Hercules toss.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what is the lighting situation? Do you want to hit like a little bit of just like the nightlight just to set the mood before you do this? Do you want
to
like?
I actually think it's better to be completely in the dark.
Completely.
So, make sure you eat your carrots.
Yeah.
Right.
You want your night vision to be superior.
Right.
In fact, I go to bed wearing an eye patch on one eye so that if it is light and then it transitions to dark, I can just move the eye patch to my other eye.
That makes
sense.
Wow.
Holy fuck. That's amazing. That's like.
Now, it's smart, right?
That's amazing.
So when you do this, you want to make sure every door in your house is open.
Uh-huh.
Because if you ever have tried to open something with a greased up hand, it doesn't work.
Been there many times. You know right. that.
Especially at that rain conference.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, I think this is a superior fighting style, and I'm glad this Jared guy brought it up.
Uh-huh.
You can also do a nice swift kick in their Pacific Rim.
Sure. That's yeah. Now that is if
you're using technical you're using some technical language there, huh?
Yeah. Let's you know, a lot of the listeners to this show are a little, you know, they're the layman of home defense. So let's bring that down a little bit to something a little bit more accessible to our viewership.
So the Pacific Rim is the taint.
Okay.
And you want to aim your greased up big toe right toward that.
Oh fuck me.
Now, do you want to be like kicked in the taint, or do you want to just go tip to taint kind of deal with the big toe?
I think tip to taint's the best.
Tip to taint.
Kyle.
Yeah.
So. Kyle, outside of the kayfabe of this moment right now, have you ever been kicked in the dick? It is, I don't know, we're talking about guns here, but that is an effective, that's an effective stopper.
So I train every day with Sensei Dan, and he just kicks me in the dick for about 30 minutes.
That's just how we say hi. I get kicked in the dick for 30 minutes a day, bro.
Right, never be too prepared.
Holy fuck, that's a kick in the dick, isn't it? All right, that's good. Thank you for the suggestion, Jared.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. So I know you guys have a lot of female listeners, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's primarily female. Yep. Primarily. Female.
Primarily on Gab.
When I think of female listeners, I think they're weak.
Uh-huh.
They're easily injured.
I often think about that.
Right. So this step I think is really good for anyone. You know, if you're a disabled, this can help you.
Like, what do you mean retarded? Like retarded?
Like if you're a disabled.
Like what is that?
Like
what kind?
Like, you know, you're a little slow, or
yeah, okay, all right.
Your legs don't work, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I'd love to help all these disabled. So I think the best thing to do is to use karate.
Karate.
With
key strikes and pressure points.
Open
right?
fist. Yep.
So pressure points, like you can go to gallbladder 32. It'll kill you instantly.
Mm-hmm. I saw that on Kill Bill.
Same thing with like a key strike to the neck.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you can learn all this on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Now, how about this? What if they happen to also be disabled and, like, let's say they're born without a neck? No neck. Yeah.
So the gallbladder is right on the side.
Okay, so you're just going to stick with gallbladder. Right. Like, for instance,
gallbladder 32, you just give it a pop with your palm. Boom, instant death.
Okay.
And if you don't have arms, you run them over with your wheelchair.
Okay. Yep.
But you make sure you aim for a gallbladder 32.
Just disregard the neck if you need to. That's good advice.
I was always thinking maybe you could kick them on the calf muscle or something, and that would disable their ability to walk.
I've never tried that, but I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I think a lot about this. I used to be in karate when I was like 7, so I remember a lot of the building blocks or things that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basic stuff because you guys are, you know, you're new to this. So I'm just glad to be helping you out. If you want to learn more, just go on YouTube, and anyone with a black belt you can trust.
Anyone?
Yeah, they don't hand those things out, man.
That's true. That's right. I've also heard that.
Any of you guys the black belts? Do you have any belts?
I got a red belt with two stripes from when I was 8, and then that place burned down, so I'm not sure if it's sanctioned anymore.
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. Probably not.
But you know what? My skills are.
I'd love to challenge you.
Okay, good. We'll do that on another show. We'll
yeah, man. If you want to come down to the
we'll do some neat some techniques. We'll do some
down to Kyle's dojo.
Kyle's dojo in Frederick. Where is that again?
Right outside Philadelphia.
That's where we met. I don't think that's where he lives, but we did meet at that RAIN conference back in 2013 in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Is that two N's? You said that was R.
No, it's RAIN conference with one N.
With one N.
Yeah.
Not two.
No.
Okay. Just making sure. Just making very sure.
So Kyle, let's keep. I'm interested, man. I am too.
Let's get a few more tips in, and then I have a couple, maybe some questions.
All right, I got a few more. I've got a lot more tips. Let's go to shurikens. Right. So shurikens, if they're properly thrown, they're instantly deadly.
What is a shuriken?
It's basically a sharp metal star that you can throw at somebody.
Oh, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Like a shuriken. I've never heard shuriken.
It's pronounced shuriken.
Shuriken.
Is that like shuriken law?
Jesus Christ!
That's where it comes from.
Jesus Christ, Carl!
Kyle knows.
Yeah, so what I like to do is I like to rub mercury on mine.
Oh yeah, that's actually pretty fucking deadly, huh?
Yeah, I do that with my arrows.
Too. That'll instantly cancer them. That's
now,
really good.
Now, do you
good.
Keep like a dish or a like an open container of mercury to dip last minute?
I keep a fanny pack filled with mercury.
Filled with mercury, okay.
And my shurikens.
I just spit up all over the floor. When he said, do you keep a dish? Do you keep a dish of mercury? Ah, I love doing this show. I love doing
this. This is great stuff.
I love this podcast. I really
By the way,
this
I've got a tab open. I've got an Amazon tab open, and I'm just filling
just
up.
Buying away. Along, just so. Buying Excellent. Away.
So I'm going to tell you why. So I like shurikens better than bullets, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because shurikens are super big and they're wide, and they cause just a tremendous amount of damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So bullets, I know they go like, what, 900 to 3,200 feet per second, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the bullets themselves, have you ever noticed they're like super tiny?
They are tiny. Yeah, they are small.
So if you learn the proper breathing techniques, you can totally ignore them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's just such a small wound.
It'll finagle its way through the atoms of your body without actually touching any of them.
Right. I learned this from Steven Seagal YouTube video.
Black belt.
He's like an 8th-degree black belt. I wouldn't mess with him.
Kyle, what is the deal with you get shot? Why don't people just pull the bullet out? I don't understand.
I don't know. I've never been shot. I always deflect it.
Uh-huh.
Like a really good idea, actually.
To deflect the bullet?
Yeah.
How would you deflect the bullet? I'm thinking
I don't know.
Elbow.
I think I'd have to learn some breathing techniques, but...
No, that's a good idea. I was thinking like maybe midair, catch it with my elbow and kind of tilt it off its course.
Glance it.
Yeah, just glance it. The way like, just you know, how in that movie with Angelina Jolie where she like can spin bullets with her mind? Like
right.
Something like that. Yeah, the bullet spin. The bullet
spin. Wanted. It's Wanted.
Great
movie. I have that poster in my room.
Wanted?
Yeah, she's hot, man.
Yeah, she is. She's a hot dude.
Yeah, bro.
All right, we'll get one more tip in, and then let's go to the main focus of this. Or at least what I want to be the main focus of this episode. Let's get into some applied home defense methods for
I've got plenty of home defense. So
okay, one more tip about weaponry would be great.
Great. So a katana.
Oh fuck yeah!
It is the best sword ever made.
What is it with the Japanese and just incredible home defense tools? What is
right,
that?
Right. So you know they live in a place that has really high ceilings and rice paper walls, and ignore the fact that it doesn't have a real cross guard, and it was mostly used to kill unarmed peasants. It's still the best, deadliest weapon in the world.
As far as I've...
That is the most common home intruder is the unarmed peasant. Right. So this is statistically your best bet.
What Karl Marx called the proletariat. That's...
Yes.
Those are the invade... That's who we gotta kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, any edged weapon. You can use a Cloud's Buster Sword from...
I was gonna ask you about a Buster Sword.
It's perfect.
Perfect. That's really
excellent,
great
penetration. You know, you could also use an axe. Like, if you have a nice fire axe, you want to be a sexy fireman with, you know, wet rippling abs. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That would work great for me.
Yeah, I think those are the best weapons.
Is that your thing, Carr? Like, you want to be like a sexy fireman for home defense purposes?
Well, you always want to leave the door open to a sexual advance, just in case.
Oh, like you... Are you talking about, like, raping the invader? What are you talking about?
I don't know about raping, but just,
It's consensual.
It's consensual because of the implication.
Because of the axe above my head.
It's consensual because if it's not, the axe will cut his head off.
I can't control... These abs can't control what these arms...
I feel like Aaron is on the podcast somehow. Like, I feel like Aaron is influencing this podcast in the distance.
I have a note here about what you want to do if there's, like, security or metal detectors.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's a good... sure, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're in a place like New York City or the Social Republic of New Jersey...
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Bear mace.
You know what's cool? Right. I do actually carry mace around, and I have had to use it once, and it's actually, like, seriously, it has actually worked, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you and every other 19-year-old girl.
Yeah, me, yeah, dude.
What was the scenario? Bear?
I want to talk about it.
I can talk about the time I use mine.
Okay. Yeah, talk about the time you use yours.
So I'm at home, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. And my dad's downstairs. He's eating chicken nuggets. I run downstairs. They're my chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. So I bear sprayed him right in the fucking face.
Roast him. Those are your chicken nuggets, dude.
They're mine. Yeah,
don't fucking let anybody take those from you.
His tender.
And he was on the ground like that.
I've always found it to be an effective tool for
nugget defense.
Making people not happy.
You know, I think another thing, if you're talking about, you know, not being able to carry somewhere, is I like to keep a bag of marbles.
A bag of marbles.
Yeah, okay. So let's use this. Let's apply it. You can throw a marble, if you're really good, right down the barrel of a gun.
Mm-hmm. That's in the Bible.
Just jam it up.
That's in the Bible.
Clogs it. The next time they fire, the gun explodes.
Yep.
That's a great call, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can also throw them on the ground so that people trip.
Yeah, Mario Kart. Hazard. Like a Mario Kart kind of thing.
It's kind of like a multi-purpose, and no one's going to take away your bag of marbles. You
banana
know?
Peels, no, things like that. Anything you can really use to improvise.
Right.
Yeah, you'll need to do that in the collapse apocalypse. All right. Thank you, Kyle, for giving us some weaponry tips. Carr, I'd like to take this into an area that I think will be beneficial for the both of us. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk about home defense. I'd like to talk about different... Kyle, maybe you could use maybe some of Greg's intel here. I want to talk about home defense, guns, weapons of other kinds, your hands, and how to defend your house from invasion of various different cryptid entities.
Oh, from cryptids?
Yeah, that's what I think I would like to do. Now, we could start off with maybe just people... And then maybe get to bankers, and then politicians, and then full-blown cryptids.
All right, let's start with people.
If you want to do that. So with people, Carr, like, let's say it's Carr Campit, right? Because Carr lives in a not-great neighborhood, right? So there's people who are trying to butter up his booty hole a lot, right, mm-hmm. as far as I understand.
Trying to mess with his Subaru.
Trying to trying to get inside of his car, yeah. For Carr Campit, in an urban scenario, Carr, is that what you would describe yourself as, living in an urban scenario?
I think that's a reasonable way to put it.
So your main opponent would be like a highly skilled master or like a black guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one or the other.
All right, so there are two ways you can handle that.
I just choked on my fucking coffee. Oh God,
Carr, I know you can do this.
I you I said you, now for the, you said black belt, right? That's
yeah.
What do you think I said? All right. So how would you deal with a black belt?
Right. So there are two things, right? If they're equal skill to you, the first one is you pee yourself or you take a Mondo Duke.
Check and check, yes.
Right. So your attacker is instantly going to stop out of disgust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, this has never happened to me. I've never been beaten, especially not in third grade on the bus, but, you know, it's very effective.
Right. Okay. A Mondo Duke.
Number two.
Uh-huh.
You want to challenge their masculinity.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Right. So you want to duke yourself and then challenge their masculinity.
Right. And this is if they're still coming at you. I doubt they will be.
Probably not. Yeah.
So what you're going to want to do is you're going to pull out one of two things. Okay. Your Pogs or your Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, a slammer.
Right. So you actually challenge them to Pogs or Yu-Gi-Oh.
That okay. Now. Okay. Pogs right. Or Yu-Gi-Oh. That's okay.
Right. You know, I recommend a Metal Ying-Yang slammer. And a Blue-Eyes White Dragon deck.
That'll work, too. That'll work as well. Yep. Good, because one thing you want to do is you want to outsmart them.
You want to yell, you just triggered my trap card, fuckface.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
And then it really intimidates people.
When do you kiss them? At what point are you going to kiss them?
Whenever there's consent.
Okay.
That's a great answer.
We take that shit very seriously here on the podcast.
Yeah,
all right.
I've heard that.
It's very serious. All right, good. So in an urban setting, Carr, you want to shit your fucking pants.
Yep.
And you want to...
You want to duke it up and then hit him with some pogs.
Yeah, you want to duke it up and you want to hit him with some pogs.
I've actually heard that a shit-covered toilet roll is also very effective.
That seems weird.
Guys never get angry at you. They'll never follow you.
Kyle, you're incorrect here, what? Kyle.
I'm open to suggestions.
It's not that they don't get angry at you. It's that you make sure you get out of the area in time before they know who threw it at them.
I'm right? glad we called this meeting just to
because they're definitely angry at you. They're definitely angry at you. See, that's when you get the bear mace. That's when you get the bear
mace. Take it from your dad and then you bear mace them.
That's right. Well, Carr, there you go. You've learned how to help again. All right, so next up, bankers. Let's say the IRS is coming to your house. Low-level government agents. How would you fend them off?
So, I may have a twin brother who says you should just load up on Tannerite and throw that bitch right under your front porch.
What the fuck? Jesus Christ.
But
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like it blows up.
You know what? I think it does.
It does. Woo! Yes, it does. Okay, good.
Well, good thing we're talking to Kyle, though, who has a much more reasonable method of repelling bankers. So, Kyle, do you want to lead us through some strategies, some techniques?
Yeah, so what I think you want to do is hide behind really hard cover.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're loaded up with everything you can find in your house.
Toiletries.
Make sure you're ready to wait for a long time. You want to have lots of water and freeze-dried food because your power is going to get cut.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so you want to be ready to go. You want to have bags to shit in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a pee corner.
Oh. A what?
A pee corner.
What's that? What is that?
Where you pee.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said a peak horner. I was like, wait a minute. All right.
That bird would have been ridiculous.
That would have been obviously not true, right? Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I think these are reasonable things to start off because once they come in, that's when you strike.
Okay.
But usually they wait to come in for a long time.
Okay.
They wait you out.
Okay. Good. Jesus, bankers are what you're saying is bankers have a low constitution, and they don't wait for a long time. They're busy.
I think
it's
probably eight. Their constitution is probably eight.
So like a minus one, like a negative one modifier, probably.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes bordering into the negative twos for some of the lower levels. Yeah, that's fair. And then let's go to politicians now.
Hold on, Greg's back for this one. Hold on.
Oh, hey. Greg. Hey, Greg.
Take over this, please.
Greg,
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey Greg. I have a question.
How'd everything go with Kyle?
Oh, went
Kyle's
really well,
a great actually. Kyle's a great guy with a really big attitude. He's great, man.
It was great to speak with him again after we met several years ago at a RAIN conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man. I didn't know.
No, it was good to talk to him.
Are you over it now, or?
Yeah, we're back on track.
Okay, good. So yeah, what are you guys talking about? Where did you get to him?
We were talking about. Oh, okay. So let's say that I don't know. Let's just say there was a politician's name was like Derek Sorwell, right? Derek Sorwell, right?
Derek Sorwell, okay. Yeah.
Allegedly, how would someone defend their homestead from someone like that? I mean, that guy might have nukes.
You mean legit nukes?
That guy might have legit nukes, and it would be over very quickly.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that politicians don't really have a really clear system of defense around them.
No.
I've also heard that bullets go really far, really fast.
If they were to say, and let's make sure that we understand that they are aggressing upon our property, let's say.
They're violating the nap by
the nap. Let's say they're napping on us.
Yeah, you're taking your private property, if you will.
And let's say this guy, Derek Sorwell, right?
Yeah.
This guy, Derek Sorwell, wants to nuke your house. How are you going to stop Derek Sorwell?
So, I'd like to talk to you about the story of Hercules versus the Hydra.
Okay right.
We'll make this analogous, if you will.
Sure, to Derek Sorwell.
Yeah, some Greek mythology.
Now that's a guy who fucking probably needs to go to a RAIN conference. That's
this is totally unrelated to your question, but so Hercules, what he did was he would chop the head off of every. The Hydra had a lot of heads.
It did.
What he would do is he would just keep chopping them off one by one, and they just kept coming back. So what cauterized this head. And so they just kept chopping off heads until they were all gone after they burned them with their sword.
Okay, so what you're saying is that in order to stop a politician, maybe like, I don't know, Derek Sorwell.
Right.
We would need to kill his family members? Like,
I think you're misinterpreting this totally.
Look, I could be misinterpreting it. That's absolutely possible.
So, you know, the heads of organizations are called, they're called the head of things, obviously, right? So they're the leaders, they're the head.
Sure.
If you want to kill a snake, you chop off the head, right?
Right. So you take the leaders on vacation, right?
So I don't kill animals, I rehome them.
Right.
So I capture them, like raccoons or whatever. I don't leave them on my land, but I rehome them somewhere else where they can live in peace and be alone.
Sure.
And not bother anyone.
Sure.
You know, so you can apply that to all these situations.
Right, like maybe an island or like, like a basement. I don't know, something like that, right? That
would work. Something with strong chains or a big fence.
Yeah, something to that wall, effect.
As my brother would say.
Well, I'll tell you, that's good. And that would work on a guy like Derek Sorwell.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Did you ever hear about you remember when, I think it was the baseball game that was shot up by that lunatic?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy had like zero training and he was just some loony Bernie supporter, I think.
Oh, because you think so? Yeah,
it was in the middle of Washington, D.C.
Like, it is crazy how, like, you know, I don't like the fact that somebody got shot. I don't care who they are. That sucks, sure, right?
Terrible.
But it's like, he really must not have been able to shoot well, because the only guy who got hurt, and he did get pretty hurt, was Scalise, right? Yeah. Everyone else got away with it. Like,
I have no idea how this guy didn't do more damage.
We're libertarians.
What did he have? What weapons?
Hopefully, we're like not like we don't like violence. I don't think anybody really likes violence. Well, I don't know if that's true, but I don't think any good people like violence. But man, I could have done better. I think.
Yeah, that wasn't. I think that was an AK. A standard like 7.62. A 47. But it they clearly. Yeah, weren't very prepared. But you know how bad the security is when one lunatic can sit there and watch the baseball game, and he was there for a couple days waiting, and he was asking questions like, who is that? Are they Republicans? Are they Democrat?
Yeah, and, that's true.
The only reason he didn't, you know, he had a hard time just because he wasn't trained, but he was also being fired back on by two security officers who are with I forget who it was, one of the higher up guys.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Like, my opinion is that the dude was a gun runner, but at some point he had some experience with weapons. Like, Stephen Paddock was probably way farther away, right?
Oh, but yeah, he was really far away.
And he was way more effective. I know it was a bigger crowd of people, but...
Well, he didn't really have to aim, to be fair. I mean, that was just...
He didn't have to aim at all?
No, you just aim in the middle of this giant target, and then even if you're off a little bit, you're going
to
hit somebody.
But you don't think, like, a baseball game, if you're... And he had to be much closer, right? Like, just...
You were all within 100 yards, which is very easy to hit when you have even a minimum of training, so...
Yeah, that is weird, right? Well...
It's strange to me that people advocate to take away your stuff, and they have a name and an address. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. These people, they think they're invincible. You're not. No one is. And yet you advocate for things like, oh, I'll take away all your stuff. And if you resist, I'll nuke your area.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
I don't know who would say that.
Yeah, that's so weird that a guy like Derek Sorwell would suggest something like that.
It just speaks to their, I think it speaks to their, what's the word?
Detachment?
They're definitely detached, but they really think highly of themselves, that their ideas are so right that no one's going to disagree with them, and they have zero security. I mean, it's unbelievable how vulnerable people are just in regular life. You and I walking around are incredibly vulnerable. Even if I prepared to the best of my ability to defend myself against someone who I knew was coming to kill me, like, I wore every little piece of body armor I had, I was armed to the teeth walking around, I can still very easily be killed simply because there's no defense against an ambush. I mean, that's why it's called an ambush. That's why it's so effective.
I always feel like when I'm walking around late at night, like, I walk around with the knowledge that I can be stabbed to death from the back at any minute, and it helps.
You're right.
It helps. It actually does help.
I mean, you can avoid areas, right? You can walk around things. You can walk away from the dark. You can stay in the light. You can be around people. But when you're talking about projectile weaponry, you can't avoid that.
Yeah, if somebody really wants to kill you,
you're dead.
It is kind of crazy when you think about that. Like, if somebody wanted to kill
anyone,
they really could. Like, it's still to this day, like, there's nothing stopping you from driving somewhere. Like, if you really needed to get it done, that's kind of scary. Greg, let's...
Yeah, let's break out of this loop.
Greg, this is scaring me. Can we stop doing this? Because only people like Derek Sorwell...
I'll tell you where people can hide.
Only people like Derek Sorwell talk about killing other people so flippantly. We shouldn't do that.
No.
Yeah. That's for people like Derek Sorwell to do
things like that. Whoever that may be.
Yeah, whoever Derek Sorwell is.
My brother's not very caring. He's kind of a dick.
That guy is kind of a dick. I got to be honest with you. Kyle is kind of a dick, but he's very intense.
I had an emergency. I had to go. I'm sorry.
It's okay. And I hope everyone is all right.
They're rapidly cooling.
So that makes two experts who've been on this podcast, Carr. We've had Kyle, and then we had Dr. Hoffmeister.
Yeah, that's right.
Two real experts on the show, and not Greg. No, Greg's not an expert.
I'm a dork.
He's just a man. All right, let's get into some real cryptids.
Sure.
Can we? Can we do that?
Let's hit it.
So, Carr, let's start with you, right? Mm-hmm. Around you, what do you have, the goat man?
Yeah, I've got a goat man variant.
What do you, like, fear at night?
Yeah, it's the goat man.
You do actually fear the goat man at night?
The Lake Worth monster, the goat man, yeah.
The goat man. So, all right, Greg, like, I don't know how big a goat man is. Pause with roast us here.
You assume, like, humanoid plus?
I want to assume seven feet to 8 feet. Yeah. And a big boy with horns.
A big
boy. Okay.
Think of Beast Man from Warhammer.
First of all, like a Beast Man. Perfect. Think of a Beast Man. Perfect. So
I got this.
So, like, first of all, how's that guy getting in? And then how are you going to react? Like, what weapon do you put where in order to kill the goat man when he comes in?
I think this is a really good question. I think it's applicable to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the goat man would be standing right outside, you know, the vision area of light. So you'd only see him as a haze.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he'd just be standing there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So you try and call the cops. They're not coming. Maybe your phone's disconnected because he disconnected it.
Does Greg advocate for calling the cops when someone invades your house? By the way,
Greg does not advocate calling the cops.
I want to be absolutely sure about that in both a real sense and a joke sense.
the giant loud noises.
And then if you shoot someone, should you call the cops, or like what's the deal there?
You mean like and you're walking around and you unfortunately have to?
I mean at home, whether it's the gunman or not.
So at home, you're kind of screwed because literally all your neighbors will hear what's going on and going to call, right? So you might as well call and get your side of the story. You know, this guy just broke in, tried to kill us. That's okay. All you say.
All right.
And you wait for your lawyer. Okay. If you're outside the home, you don't really have to narc on yourself. Mm-hmm. But the truth is there are cameras everywhere, so they're probably going to find you. What you do if you don't want to call is you call your lawyer. And then you go with your lawyer to the police station and turn yourself in and say, this is what happened.
Oh, okay. And that won't have legal ramifications where they'll say you
ran. No, you don't have to call the police on yourself.
Oh, that's
as far as I know.
Good. Okay, good. I didn't know that.
You want to get out of the area anyway because you were just, you know, violently attacked.
Now, here's the thing. Now, would you even call the cops if you shot the goat man? Like, what are they going to fucking do?
The goat man?
Yeah.
Well, you can't. It's a different story.
I mean, you and I know that every police officer is in on cryptids. That they don't, they know what's going on. They don't care. Yeah. They want the cryptids to be fed.
Yeah.
And
I tell you who my one call is going to is probably, if he'd answer, probably Professor Hoffmeister at the Hoffmeister Institute.
Absolutely. Right.
That'd I'd take be him good into idea. The station with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be a good idea. We should get the guy on again.
I think the best way to deal with a goat man, I don't think guns work.
No.
Honestly.
No.
Maybe his vital areas aren't in his chest. Maybe they're in his head, and maybe his head is very tough. You know, maybe it'll stop pulling.
I think he's going to be coming head first at you. Like, once he sees you.
A bull rush, right?
Yeah, a bull rush, yeah. Absolutely.
And he is part goat, so he's got a tough skull, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's going to come in through the window.
And he's probably dumb as a fucking brick, so he, you know, like one bullet. Dumb,
but he's cunning.
Oh, yeah. That's true, he is cunning.
It's an animal instinct.
He's like the beast. I keep thinking of a beast man with like a sword and a whip.
Yeah, me too. let's
do that. All right. So what do you do then?
If you can't use your gun, I would suggest using like your Italian storta and a buckler.
Oh, okay. All right.
A short sword and a buckler will do you really well inside your house.
How are you going to repel a direct charge from a 7-foot goat man with the buckler?
Yeah. So you don't actually take the brunt force directly into your body.
Of course,
you move to the side as you're blocking it.
Of course, a deft sidestep.
You sidestep as you're directing you have to think of the horns like other swords.
That's right.
So you have to direct them away from you while you thrust with your Italian storta, your Langsmesser, whatever you have in your right hand.
Your Zweihänder. Whatever you
got. Though, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Goat man, you need finesse is what you're saying.
Right. And I think you'd want to go for the neck.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially once you hack the neck off, mm-hmm. you can actually mount it on your wall.
Yeah. You could flip him upside down and bleed him out and make halal. That'd be pretty cool.
It's great. I'm sure they would love that.
That would be pretty good, actually. That would be tasty.
Let's wear a loincloth is the real question.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think when you kill anything that's 7 feet tall or taller, you should wear a loincloth.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if he has one.
I don't see why he would feel the need to hide his dick. He's a creature of nature, you know?
All right.
Yeah, I don't feel like he would hide his dick. And in fact, a dick target would probably be, you know, like maybe when you're sidestepping, you know, you just maybe you jolt that buckler down into his dick or something.
Oh, yeah, you punch his dick, sure.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
That would be.
Kari, are you finding that one to be helpful?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable about my situation over here.
Now, Greg, I'm going to present you with maybe my situation and some of my greater fears, okay?
Sure.
I live in a second floor of a 2-floor apartment. So I got a roof above me and one apartment below me. For me, it's going to be the Jersey Devil is what I need to look out for. Not particularly a strong, invader of the house, but a very sort of, he can improvise, you know?
Can you describe the
physical characters? Okay. Maybe about 3 feet to 4 feet tall as far as I've seen them.
Okay. Weight
40 pounds at most.
Okay.
They fly, and they have they basically look like 4 foot tall ostriches, except they have like dragon heads and hooves.
What about their legs?
Yeah, they're little, tiny, breakable baby legs, you know?
Okay.
Greg, they piss me the fuck off, these things, okay?
No, but yeah.
You have no idea how hot and bothered they get.
They bother me with those stupid little fucking legs walking around like that. What is the point?
What's their challenge rating?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll get that for you, Greg. Probably about a 4. I can't imagine much more than that.
Wow, all
right. Yeah, no, and I'm at least an 8, a level 8, so.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, just based on personal experience from fighting everything in the world, including, you know, alleged cryptids, because I can never confirm it because they always, again, slip out.
Oh, here we go, Greg. Challenge rating, I'm sorry to say this, challenge rating 8.
8?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I was going to say something different, but I think your best bet is
strength of 22 plus 6.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
You know what?
Oh, they can breathe fire. Fuck!
It can breathe fire.
Oh my god, Carr, I didn't know that Jersey Devils breathes fire in the Dungeons and Dragons setting. And this changes things. All right, Greg, how do I deal with a flying, 5-foot-tall, 22-strength, fire-breathing creature?
So is it immune to fire?
That's a good fucking question, Greg. But even if it is not immune to fire, no.
All right, that's good. So I was going to initially suggest a grapple where you grab it by its neck and then you use your body weight to drop down and then snap the neck as hard as you can.
That's so smart.
Greg, I really enjoy the consistency with your defensive moves and that they're all neck-based.
Mm-hmm. Right, thank you.
Well, the neck is the heart of the soul.
The neck strikes. So, you know, it is going to be the strongest part if it's strength 22.
Yeah, right, it is.
So what I would suggest is, what kind of, do you guys have gas in your place?
What do you mean? I produce gas or like, what do you mean? Both.
Do you produce gas and is there a gas range?
I can fart. Yes. And there is in fact, a gas range. Yes.
What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to turn the gas on.
Yeah. Run that for, please, allegedly, please say allegedly.
Allegedly,
I don't want anybody asphyxiating themselves because of this podcast.
Just hold your breath and dodge.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And as soon as you can, you do a casual flip of your lighter.
Okay.
Slow motion onto the ground.
Oh, right, of course, right. A Zippo. You need a Zippo.
And I'm sure you have a Zippo, huh?
I definitely do, sir. I most certainly do.
And the explosion hopefully will blow both of you out the window. You said you're on the second floor?
Yes.
Usually the good guys land on something soft and the bad guys land on something hard. So you got to hope that you land on something soft.
That brings into question whether or not I'm the good guy. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Right?
That's tough.
Well, that's further reason to try to be the good guy, Bird.
That is. You're right, Carr, Campit. You're right. Be the good guy. I like that. Be the
so you know
guy.
Where you land. Yeah, that's good.
All right, now
yeah,
here's
be the good guys. Do you know where you land?
Now here's a good one. We just this maybe we'll wrap up with this one because Greg, this might actually be a serious one in some respects. Sure. Let's say Childeberg just happened, right? We want to give first of all we did a little post of Childeberg, right? We want to give people maybe that they can carry into the next Childeberg, or if people want to do their own Childeberg spinoffs. We want to give them some campsite defense advice. I will say Bigfoot, but I think Bigfoot here can stand for an analog of any politician or government agent or local invader that you can think of.
Right. So isn't Bigfoot kind of friendly or no?
As far as I understand it, Bigfoot has a blood grudge against humanity.
Oh, he does.
We treat him as a hostile creature here.
He's pretty, because we've had do you know the dog man respecter? Are you familiar with the dog man respecter?
He's the expert.
He's the expert on this. As far as I understand, he's an interdimensional creature who just has it out for us. He's a servant of chaos. He's not a good guy.
He always was. He didn't go this way because of what we did to him.
I think he's got a blood grudge against humanity because it's one of God's creations. I think he I think he just is an evil creature.
All right, that's fair. I was going to suggest guns. I was going to suggest different types of guns.
Right. I think you can use guns. I think, because here's the thing. His soul doesn't exist on Earth, but that body sure does.
Right.
So we could take him down.
All right, that just makes sense. So I think what I'd recommend for a group like that, a campsite, is you always need to be careful with what's behind you. right? With whoever's behind Bigfoot when you're shooting at Bigfoot.
Right.
Because you don't want to hit your campmates. You don't want to hit your friends. You don't want to hit your neighbors.
Right. Let's make this about Carr, because Carr, were you sleeping with Rollo McFlugel, another well-known cryptid?
I hope so. That's so
hot. You got to make sure that when you have a campsite buddy, you don't shoot them, right?
Yeah.
What a crazy thing it would be to shoot Rollo McFlugel. I mean, that's crazy.
That would be gross.
That would be really gross to do something like that.
We would not want to do that.
We wouldn't want to do that unless he's, he was noodling you, right?
Yeah.
He was doing something like that, then you may have to fend him off. But
all right, so this is going to take just give me a few seconds to talk about it here. I think it's going to take a little bit of planning before you even get to the campsite.
Okay.
I'd break everyone up into squads of four.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This way you have overlapping fields of fire.
Okay.
You're behind covered. You've got left, right, and forward covered, right? So you have a 360-degree area. You want to respond to contact where everyone runs up in a line together and puts suppressing fire on that contact. But you want to make sure that you're staggered so that when one guy's out, the other guy is still firing. And then vice versa.
What do you mean by staggered?
So one guy starts firing, and when he's 15 rounds through, the other guy starts firing. So that later when you need to reload, somebody's covering you, they're actually still firing, keeping Bigfoot's head down.
Now, in a more serious way, like, is this a proper strategy for taking down a bear? Like, would a bear need that many shots put into it to put it down?
If the bear was wearing body armor...
Okay, so we're assuming that Bigfoot is a bear with body armor, right? Like, that's what we're dealing with.
Seems like a safe assumption to me.
So you really don't need to do this in any case in the forest ever. Like, you wouldn't actually ever need to, like, stagger in a line. You know what I mean? Like, or is there a situation you can see where that would happen?
I really think that this is just a good tactic to know.
Okay, that is a good tactic to know.
Having four people is always better than having one.
Right.
You can never have too much firepower,
right?
I'd say, unless you're trying to make this bear into a rug, then you don't want to ruin it,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. If a bear is coming at me, I'm not concerned about ammunition.
Right. You want to unload into it, so you want to have hand signals that show that you're reloading, so that everyone knows you're reloading, because you can't yell over the over the sound of the gunfire because it's so loud.
Or the sound of Bigfoot's shrill yell.
It's intergalactic screaming.
It's intergalactic, yes. That's right.
So you want to be able to have hand signals. If you can't flank Bigfoot, if you can't get around to the side, and you still think you can beat them, you have, firepower superiority, you're going to want to keep up that staggered firing and still try and get some sort of angle on the guy. You want to keep his head down while half your team rushes up to try and get a better angle at Bigfoot.
That's interesting, man. This sounds like so much fun to just do on a regular camping trip. Be like, all right, if anyone attacks us, this is the strategy. Practicing strategies and stuff. Man.
Yeah, you want to have people awake at night. You want to sleep in shifts.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is like some apocalypse type shit, Greg.
Yeah, you want to make sure that your eyes are adjusted to the darkness. You don't use lights because lights show where you are.
Kyle had mentioned something about sleeping with an eye patch on. Is that something that you might recommend as well?
Yeah, well, Kyle's kind of a real fag, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, that fucking guy. That guy.
You know what? It doesn't hurt. You look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's always weird that, like, some of the, I think, like, who is it? Like, Snake Plissken.
Yeah, Snake Plissken.
Has an eye patch, but doesn't he have to use a gun? I feel like that would be a hindrance, not a...
I'm going
to
tell you the truth right now. I actually have one bad eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so my right eye, and I'm right-handed, actually, I had a cornea transplant that went bad.
Oh, man.
So I can see out of it. It's just, it's too blurry to use for appropriate shooting. I guess you could say.
Okay.
I can see the target. It's like a man-sized target. I can see out to a decent length, but I don't know what it is. So you never want to, not know what you're shooting at.
Interesting.
But my left eye is fine, so I had to learn how to shoot with my my left hand with a rifle. So Snake, if he has a right eye, if his right eye is gone, should be shooting his rifle left-handed.
Wouldn't that affect your depth perception, or does that not even really become a factor when you're talking about something?
It would a little bit, but it doesn't. That's not a factor in shooting at all.
Because it's such a fast projectile, it doesn't really...
You don't need to know depth perception because you just need to place your sights on the target.
Yeah, it's not like you're a sniper or anything. Is there any home is there any home defense situation where you would recommend a rifle? I know you recommended a rifle, but I mean like a long rifle. Is there any
Literally every home defense situation.
Really?
AR-15.
Oh, wow. Okay. You think that's better than the shotgun?
Way better than a shotgun. Okay. I covered this a little on...
You did. That's why I didn't want to bridge too much back into it, but you did.
But the reason being is that you have 30 rounds if you're living in a free state or if you don't care about the laws, like all my friends. you know, you want to be able to have that kind of fast follow-up shot. A shotgun's very good. It's very deadly. It's just... The follow-up shot, if you do miss or if you wing them, if you don't hit them in a proper vital spot, it takes a little bit of extra time. And then you only have like 6 rounds or 7 rounds, depending on how big your shotgun is.
So, this is going to sound funny, but like, so you should you carry around the AR at home if someone has invaded? But do you believe in the cocking the gun thing first, right?
That is the worst like fun advice I've ever heard.
Is that...
When you go to a gun shop, they're always like, just cock a shotgun. It'll scare away.
Okay.
If someone's in your house, they're trying to fucking take your shit. It might scare them away. But, you know, if they're on, who knows, if they're on any kind of drug or they actually want to hurt you.
Right.
It's not going to scare anyone. It just lets them know where you are.
So, that's what I was saying. So it is almost weird that it's like, why would you let somebody know they're in your home? They don't need to know you're at home. That seems like a courtesy you shouldn't be willing to afford a home invader.
Right, there are a couple ways you can go about this. You could buy night vision goggles for a couple $100 to a couple thousand.
God damn it! How do you get that shit on while someone's in the house? Like,
you sleep with it on, Bird.
I was gonna say, and you know what? I know probably a couple of listeners of this podcast don't think that's such a bad idea.
So all this stuff is super uncomfortable. So you can't really wear it. That's why in D&D they make you take off your armor when you're sleeping, right?
Oh, yes, they do. I forget about that rule. Yes.
Sleep well. If you wear your armor, you don't actually sleep well.
Right.
So they've learned from, even D&D has learned from real life, that if you wear armor all the time, it's super awful and uncomfortable and you can't sleep well, you know. So what most people do is they have what's called a tiered defense system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an onion is what I like to describe it as. Rollo likes to say it's layers of Swiss cheese put together. So what I suggest is having your doors and windows, your windows can have these, it's like a security film that goes on them that when it breaks, it doesn't break all the way in. So it's really hard to get through it. You have to eventually cut through it.
Okay.
It's really awful to get through. I like those. And then I like having extra kickstops or extra locks on a front door or any door that gets into your house.
Okay.
It doesn't happen though.
All right, and as we know, Bigfoot probably, he might be intelligent, but he sure doesn't know how to open a door.
So it's really hard to get through a security kickstop at the bottom of your door. You have to take the hinges off. You have to breach it with a really heavy breaching tool.
Mm-hmm.
A Bigfoot would be able to do it. But the reason we have this is because it gives you time to put on your shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you're safe next to your bed, which you should, you can get into it quickly if it's biometric, if it's a keypad, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, you just get into your safe, you throw your body armor on. It's just like putting on a jacket if you've got the good stuff or slipping it over your head if you don't. And then you you grab your rifle, you charge it, or you take a safety out, whatever you want to do. You put your light on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad.
How would you...
Do you keep a light attached to your AR-15?
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay.
So would that reveal your position, though? Would
to people who are to the side of the light. So if I'm dealing with multiple people and I'm exposed on my flanks, I wouldn't use my light, but I'm never going to be exposed. I'm never going to be next to a window. If you have your light on and you're inside, someone can see you through the window, obviously. So you want to be sure to only use that light if no one else can see it but the perp.
Go ahead, finish, and then because you said something, I want to just keep it in my mind to ask you.
So you put the light on the person. The reason you do that is because you want to know if it's your drunk neighbor or if it's someone trying to kill you or if it's your kid who's sneaking in late.
Right.
Theoretically, you want to have a handheld flashlight so you're not pointing a gun at your neighbor.
Right.
But again, if someone's taking this much time to break into your house, hopefully you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The flashlight itself, when it's shining at you, usually they're very bright, especially gun flashlights. It makes it really hard to pinpoint where the person is because now you're almost blinded.
Right.
They also have strobe functions that make it hard to see where the person is. I mean, try it one day. Have your girlfriend point a flashlight at your face.
I have one of those police lights with the strobe on it. That thing is intense.
Right. And so that's why you can use it inside, is because it works. It doesn't give away your position necessarily.
It's crazy that it doesn't affect the pointer at all, but it affects the person being pointed at so much.
It's very weird.
It's amazing. Like, you can see perfectly, even though it's jittering. It's actually, Carr, I recommend that, to be honest with you. Those things are just kind of cool, those police lights, because then you can turn them around and fucking smack some. If you want to use your hand-to-hand combat skills, that's what you got to use. Oh, man, I like this. Now, Greg, one more question out of curiosity. How do you know if someone has broken into your house if they don't make it as obvious as breaking something?
Right, so if you don't have glass, if you don't hear the glass breaking, let's say, maybe you sleep with a fan.
Or they pick your door lock, even.
They pick your door lock. But, I mean, that's the thing about a kickstop, is that you can't pick that. It's literally put into the ground so that they would have to... they'd have to break the door down.
Well, then how would you get in?
You don't put the kickstop down when you're not there.
Oh, it's movable. Okay, it's not a part of the door. Okay, got it.
It's an insertable, like, security rod. They sell them all over Amazon.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, that's a good damn idea. Okay, so...
yeah.
So you're just saying you may not know, so just take those precautions so it gets even more difficult?
Right, you want it to be super difficult and super loud for these people to get in, because light and sound bring attention from other people. So your neighbors will know, everyone will know that someone's breaking in.
Would a dog probably be a good thing as well, because it won't bark at people it knows?
Dogs will bark at anything, I found, even people it knows.
That's I guess you got to get a trustworthy dog, and even then, I don't know if you want to rely on a dog.
It's hard. I have a small dog that I'd like to use because... you know, she's very easy to feed. She's small, but she alerts to everything. So if someone's opening the door or trying to, she starts barking. So I always know when someone's at my door.
Yeah,
I
mean, someone. Yeah, right. Oh,
and, you know, I don't run up with my Glock pulled out, but it's close by. I'm ready to go in case, you know.
Right.
So dogs are also good, but you can also get a security system for, you know, only a couple bucks a month that has a very loud sound. If it hears a window break, or if something passes the plane of its little laser, or something opens, you know?
Yeah, man.
So these are all things you can, if you really care about being security conscious at your house when you're there or not there, I would recommend a cheapo security system.
Not bad. Okay, good. And then, so there's your weapons, there's your security systems, and hopefully people stay safe from the Bigfoot, right?
Well, I got one more question, Greg. Do you have guns around the house, like in strategic locations?
I mean, I always carry one on me. I carry a small one in my pocket when I'm relaxed in comfortable clothes. I have a smaller safe downstairs. My house isn't huge, but I have like a small, like, little hand safe that I can just grab my Glock out of. You know, there are handguns in different strategic locations, if you will, but it's not like I'm keeping them in books everywhere. You don't need to.
Yeah, like somebody's breaking in and you're like rearranging books on the shelf for the secret code, right? To like switch around a box. And
the truth is, if someone tries to break in and I'm down there, I don't know if I'm going to stand there with my handgun and wait, or if I'm going to run upstairs, lock all my doors, and then get my heavier stuff on and wait there. Both of them are okay options. I don't want anyone to get the jump on me while they're breaking through my upstairs door. You know, I'd rather see what's coming in. But I also don't want to put myself in a position where someone shoots through my front door.
Right.
I'm standing there like some clown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's a trade-off either way.
Man, I'm gonna be looking through my house and like, oh, how can I secure this?
It's fun stuff. You know, I've spent a lot of time, like I said in the other podcast that we don't speak of.
Yeah, we don't like those guys over here.
I spent a lot of time shooting a lot of different types of weapons and seeing what really works. And I spent a lot of time in classes watching other people shoot weapons. So I know that if you want to have a reliable gun, you pick certain manufacturers.
Right.
I've had good luck with CZs, and then I've had good luck with Glocks. SIGs are also pretty good. You know, Browning,
isn't bad. And then when you get into the rifle stuff, I've had really good luck with Smith & Wesson, BCM, Arrow, Knights Armament Company, you know, another Sig Sauer. They've all been good. And I use just Magpul parts. Magazines, they're like $9 a pop, you know, but you can trust these things. You want to make sure they're reliable.
Right.
Right.
And you don't want to spend $25 on a red dot online. You want to spend at least $100, $150 on like a Sig Sauer Romeo, or you want to go up higher, spend a couple hundred, maybe $600 on like a Trijicon or a Leupold or a, see, like an Aimpoint. You know, there are all these brands that you can try out if you want to get something that's still under $1,200, but you know, it'll last you forever, hopefully, as long as you clean it.
Well,
right.
Cool. And what do you think about a bow and arrow for home defense? Like, do you think that would scare people off? Maybe if you start doing some battle cries.
Just rack it once.
Yeah.
I think if you dip the arrow in mercury, it'd be perfect.
No, what you should do is you should dry fire it several times.
Yeah. I think you'd make an excellent Katniss.
Yeah. That'd be good, right? If I ever needed to survive some sort of game of death, then yeah, that'd be great.
You're hungry.
My friend genuinely is pretty good with using a bow and arrow and is convinced that it is going to be useful in home defense.
Hey, listen, it has killed people for, what, hundreds of years?
It has.
That's true. It's better than nothing, right?
And you know what? He's good with a short bow, so maybe.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It's soft armor, so why not?
Here's the thing with that. It's like, I guess, what is the average home invasion count of people that are coming in? I mean, is it what is the most common? It's probably just one, I would imagine.
And it's a prowler. I mean, but you have had people who, when they see outside cameras, they go, oh, this guy has something to protect. So they come in groups of three.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go hotter if they think you're selling drugs.
Yeah.
It's the SWAT team.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. How do you fight an APC?
I actually have real answers if you want.
I'm sure there's lots of ways. I would probably just try and like run.
That's probably a good idea.
I'm not gonna like dig ditches and shit.
They can't see, they can't drive.
Do you have like a family plan? Like, seriously, like, do you have like, are you getting assistance on this, on your lines of fire?
Oh, Carr, I thought you meant, what if a whole family invades?
Oh,
it's first because they're harder to hit.
Those kids are wily. You give one kid a knife and he'll sneak up on you.
Yeah, you got to be careful with families when they invade.
Yeah, you got to take out the kids first because it'll demoralize the parents.
You look outside and you see like one guy, like the father, and you're like, all right. And then you just see like a woman and child, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, and you got to kill the kid because otherwise the kid will grow up and kill you.
Later on, someone's played Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I've seen movies and stuff.
Are you asking if my wife is trained in Fields of Fire and support and all that?
Yeah, I mean, is that like something that you guys plan?
I've trained her as much as she wants to be trained. I don't push it too much. She's accurate enough that I would set her up, you know, with a bipodded rifle somewhere in the house, just waiting for someone to pop up. You know, that's something she's more capable of than actually running behind me in full gear, you know, watching my six or, you know, move and fire, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad idea if you have a significant other. You need to train them, not necessarily with, you know, basic squad level tactics, but you do need to train them on basic gun safety.
Mm. Yeah, that's
because honestly, you're more likely to hurt yourself, you know, than someone is going to break into your house, just because there are a ton of dumb people in the United States. So people hurt themselves all the time with guns. So you want to be very careful.
Right. And you want to definitely have a signed shooting for, like, if another family invades your family. That's right. That would be good.
You know, the boy takes the other boy.
Yeah, little Bobby takes the opposing child.
Yeah.
The wife takes out the husband because he won't be expecting it. and then you kill the rest. Jesus. All right, good. I'm glad we gave a lot of tips, and if anyone uses them, don't tell me.
honestly, I really think that staying inside your house with locked doors, you can call the police if you want, because they are essentially a big gang, so they will come. But you want to make sure that you're on the phone with 911 the entire time, so that when the police are clearing your house, they don't murder you with their terrible skills, and they don't see you as the threat. You know. Yeah.
Would you recommend after you call the police in one of these incidents that you just, if you do, that you just fucking don't stay in the house and maybe sit on your curb or something? Like, what would you, like, what would you do?
If you can leave your house safely, go ahead. You know, I'm not going to stop you.
Because that's the horror of calling the police for me, is that they think I'm the fucking guy and they kill me.
Only call them if you're locked in your last final room, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then you tell them, this is where it is. Make sure you're on the phone.
Right. And I'll put my dog in the closet so they don't fucking think that the dog is the invader.
Right. There's not, you know, it's not going to be a good situation.
Yeah.
They're going to be busting in, searching for things and you know, ready to go. They're already taking
all my weed.
Right. That is a good point.
Ted, thanks for repayment, you dickheads.
Sir, what are these bottles with rags? What is this?
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. And thank you, Kyle, for coming on and explaining this.
I'll punch Kyle on the shoulder. He has to fix my drywall. He punched a hole in it earlier.
He's been training, like, I see. Special Kyle. Well, I hope Kyle is doing better after the RAIN conference. Carr, I hope you're doing better after the RAIN conference. We want to wrap it up here. Greg, you got some plugs you want to swing around?
Yeah, I'm at NotGregoryM on Twitter. If you have any questions, ask me. I'll gladly help with literally anything related to home defense or guns or anything. I can probably point you to training if you tell me what your level is. I have a few friends in different areas, but mostly I'm based out of right outside Philly. So that's more my skill area. So.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Well, Greg, thanks again for coming on, and I guess until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.